Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 Anna Jarrett Levine Studios.
This is Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690 with Brent Martineau and Austin Lane.
Well, I think the two most likely scenarios are one, that he retires, and we put that in quotes, right? Because it's more like what Carson Palmer did with the Bengals years ago when he didn't want to play for them anymore. He retired figuring, well, they'll trade me, and ultimately they did. And the other option would be if he and the Packers could get something worked out on a contract that lets him out after 1 year. He's got 3 years left on his contract, but nothing guaranteed. And obviously with the draft pick of Jordan Love, future uncertain. If he could get a reworked contract with a provision that they can't franchise him and he's able to be a free agent next year, then maybe he comes back.
Hey, guys, Dan Graziano from ESPN talking about Aaron Rodgers. And there is new information out on Aaron Rodgers in the last 10 minutes. So I'll have that coming up in just a moment. Keep in mind, football at 5. Austin's going to break down the tight end position of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Our camp battle segment continues. Brent Martineau live in Atlanta, parking lot of another game for the Dodgers scout team coming up at 4:30. Austin Lane, not a belt in hand, but he had it around his waist on Saturday night. Champ in the cage after a 31-second TKO. I got that right, right?
TKO. Yeah, yep. Yeah, nailed it, man. And I'll tell you what I have in my hand right now is we got some cinnamon rolls that were in the lunchroom. So you definitely you picked a great day to not be here. And Casey, as I stuff my woofer for my lunch with these cinnamon rolls, you keep your mouth shut and don't judge me. You got me, man?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, my man. Hey, appreciate you.
By the way, I love that your fight camp is over because you wouldn't have been putting cinnamon rolls in your woofer.
No,
if your camp was still going on.
Nothing but lean proteins, Brent, and complex carbs that go in this woofer during fight camp. Fight camp's over now. I'm going Cinnabons.
All right. I have one other, one final thought on the Olympics, okay?
Yeah.
I think I can find a way to help the Olympics.
Okay.
I think one of the big problems is they are just on NBC. If you think about the NFL, and listen, there's a lot of different reasons. Maybe ratings are down or the Olympics people don't pay as much attention to as they used to. But I think if you look at the NFL, CBS has it. NBC has it. ESPN, which is ABC, has it. Fox has it. They're going to give streaming rights to some on occasion. NFL Network is involved with it. You have all these different networks pushing the product, promoting the product. If ESPN had the Olympics, it would be at nauseam how much you'd hear about the Olympics, you know, because that's what they do. If they own something, if they have the rights to something, they will push and push and push and promote. They're covering the Olympics, but they're just covering the Olympics on the fringe. They are not promoting it like NBC is, and NBC should. They spent a lot of money on it. I wonder if they were to split up the rights and give a little bit of everything to all the networks and even the TNTs of the world and others, if it would get tons of coverage and almost just flood the entire television world with the Olympics during an Olympic year, I think that would be beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a smart strategy. I think with what we're seeing right now, you know, in terms of maybe it feels a little lackadaisical just because the type of sports that we're seeing right now, you know, we're not to the meat and potatoes, if you will, of the Olympics. You know, we're not to the track and field events yet. We just started gymnastics. Swimming, you know, is starting to, peak a little bit here as well. You know, I guess wrestling's not that big in terms of watchability, but like, I enjoy the wrestling, so I can't wait to watch that. It's just, I don't know.
Forget about baseball.
Oh, and baseball as well. Thank you very much, man. And tennis, I feel like, is right around the corner, too. Am I wrong, tennis, or are they doing tennis already? See, it's going to show you how big of a fan I am. But
tennis and golf are starting up. But the prime sports are swimming, track and field, gymnastics. You had it right.
No, for sure. So those are starting to get ramped up a little bit. And once again, it's just I think it's the fact that I'm not taking anything away from all these athletes. Like, if you have the chance to compete for your country, regardless of the sport, you take pride in that. but I can only watch so much rifle or whatever, you know, like, I mean, it's, I get it. Like I'll watch a second to say I watched it, but like some of these things in terms of the longevity, how much you can watch it, you know, it can be painstaking sometimes.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
Hey, regardless, listen, we're rooting hard tonight for Ryan Murphy, 100-meter backstroke final. Friend of the show, big Jags fan. Love Ryan Murphy and also Caleb Dressel. We don't know as well, but obviously from Clay County, Clay High School, and he is the best swimmer on the planet right now. Caleb Dressel will be the star of the games. We'll continue to watch him all week long. All right, the big news in on Aaron Rodgers. Said we're going to get to it. Aaron Rodgers has been a topic for months and months. Here's what Adam Schefter has tweeted in the last 15 minutes. Packers are offering concessions and are close to an agreement that would bring Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay for at least this season. Deal's not done, but it is close. Here's what else Schefter says. Over the past weekend, the two sides were able to reach mutually agreed upon terms that are close to convincing Rodgers to abandon plans he had to skip training camp and return for it. Concessions do not include more money, per sources, according to Schefter. The new agreement, once finalized, would help set up Aaron Rodgers' departure from Green Bay after this season. The 2023 year in Aaron Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, would be voided with no tags allowed in the future, per sources. So, basically, this is, hey, Aaron, we understand we're not going to be able to repair this relationship. Mm-hmm. Come back, play one more year. We'll alter the contract. We've already got our quarterback of the future that we drafted. We'll wish you well, but let's go try to win a Super Bowl with you at the quarterback in 2021.
Well, and this makes sense, too, of why him and Davante Adams, you know, they each had the same thing on their Instagram story of Michael Jordan in The Last Dance. That kind of adds a little more clarity, if you will, of what they were getting at, even though you kind of got the sense that was the case. Also, Trey Wingo is reporting that he's hearing that right now Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay hinging on a trade for former teammate Randall Cobb. And Randall Cobb right now is in Houston. So that's according to Trey Wingo, where Aaron Rodgers isn't going to come back unless they get Randall Cobb. Which, by the way, if you're in Houston and, like, realistically, I think he's like your third receiver right now on your team. Don't you hold Randall Cobb for ransom if that's the case? Like, if these rumors are true, and if I'm Houston, I'm like, well, you know, we really like Randall Cobb out of the slot. I mean, two first rounders, maybe, you know, because can you afford not to have Randall Cobb back in Green Bay? That's what I'd be doing right now if I was Houston.
Yeah, that's an interesting play. I think this is a little bit of the principal nature of what's going on right now with Aaron Rodgers, right? Mm-hmm. I think he basically is saying, I've told you I wanted a little bit more say. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to rework my deal so I can get out of here. I'm going to still make my money. And I'm also going to tell you that I want some say. I want this guy to come back and play with us. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to try to hit a home run on all the things that he wanted before he even leaves. I've got a few questions about this. One is simple. Is this better for Aaron Rodgers? Better for the Packers? Do both sides kind of win here? And what, before everybody's like, hey, no way, the Packers win. They're going to lose one of the best quarterbacks. Well, listen, he is going to be 38 years old. They did draft his replacement. They did. And now they won't have the drama of it. So I don't think it's as clear cut to say Green Bay loses. Yeah, they'll lose a heck of a player. But just because Tom Brady's doing it at 44 doesn't mean Aaron Rodgers is going to do it at 44 or 40 or 39. And an unhappy Aaron Rodgers sure as hell might not be able to do it because he's not going to be all in on it. So who wins on this deal, and is this a good deal for both sides? What are they saying at the pickle, Austin Lane?
What are they saying at the pickle? Probably give me another shot. But no, honestly. So, you know, it's an interesting development here because you got the sense that Aaron Rodgers wanted out, and obviously that ended up being true. But here's the crazy thing about it, Brent. You can take this from a few sides. Number one, I think that Aaron Rodgers unequivocally wins this round. Now, I get it. Green Bay has him for one more year, and essentially it is the last dance. You have one more shot to try to win a Super Bowl and bring it back to Green Bay. Okay, cool. But at the same time, you have a situation now where if you're – and like you said, they drafted his replacement, Jordan Love. Now, whether or not Jordan Love is the answer or not doesn't really matter. You took him in the first round. He better be if you want to keep your jobs. With that being said, though, with Aaron Rodgers – how much could you have got from this year if you chose to trade him? Probably a lot. Probably a lot of pieces that would help set you up for the future. because you get the sense, regardless of Aaron Rodgers, well, let's be honest, he's not going to be there next year. Next year, it's going to be a rebuilding process because now we're talking about Devonta Adams probably leaving. He's not going to come back and play with Jordan Love. You don't know what Jordan Love's going to bring to the table. If you're Devonta Adams, you want to go play with, you know, one of the best quarterbacks you can. So I assume Devonta Adams leaves. So we're talking about after this season, it could be a rebuilding project for the Green Bay Packers when you can, you know, quote unquote, rebuild this year with a lot more draft capital. So that's why I say it's advantage, you know, Aaron Rodgers, an advantage for him in the future.
I think Aaron Rodgers wins the day because this becomes a Tom Brady kind of deal where it's basically like, hey, you got one more year and then you control your own destiny.
Mm-hmm. As the Packers can have.
Hi, Adam Schefter. How are you? Did Adam have more to say about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers?
Was I the only one that heard that? Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
I might have been the only one that heard that. Sorry about that. Everybody's like, what are you talking about, Brent?
Yeah, I thought Adam Schefter's got a kid playing right now, too. You guys are hanging out with each other.
I'm getting the latest from Schefter here in the parking lot.
Yeah, for sure.
I do think Aaron Rodgers, like, to your point, I think Aaron Rodgers has to be the winner here. Because he's going to get out, and he's going to cater the deal to what he wants to do. He's going to get one more year, which will be, by the way, like a victory lap, I would assume, in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And then, especially if he plays well again, and then he'll be able to control his own destiny, a la Tom Brady, who got out of New England, went to Tampa, chose wherever he wanted to go, wins the Super Bowl. And, I mean, we won't even get into that right yet. But how many teams will be courting or in the conversation for Aaron Rodgers next year? I mean, that will be fascinating, right? And same teams like Miami and Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and add like 10 more teams to the list who will be willing to give up whoever they have for a couple of years for Aaron Rodgers, especially after seeing the precedent of what Tom Brady did set. Even though I'm not convinced the next guy is going to be able to pull off what Tom Brady did, there's precedent for it. So, people will pull the trigger on it. Austin, how hard will this be for a guy like Rodgers to play? If he knows there's one more year and that's all he's got, and he already doesn't like the brass, mm-hmm. and he doesn't really want to be there, is this easy to go out and play? Is this easy to be with teammates? Is he going to get full appreciation from the fan base? I mean, what kind of year will this be for Aaron Rodgers if everybody knows the writing's on the wall he's going to be gone?
Yeah, see, to me, so from the fan base, it's different because, like, we haven't really seen this before in terms of football. So I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't know how the fan base is going to react to it. I think the fan base just wants this story to be done. And the chapter to be closed. Obviously, I think, and I get it, Aaron Rodgers is up there in age, but you're talking about a guy who won the MVP award last year, okay? And in terms of the tools that he has to work with, no, it's not the sexiest group of personnel in terms of wide receiver and tight end in the league. I get Robert Tonyan, is a heck of a player, but you got to believe that Aaron Rodgers also helps him out with that as well. They have Devonta Adams, but besides that, not too much. So I think that the fan base, I think they're going to be on the fence with this. I think if they're winning, everything is going good, then yeah, why not? But it's going to be in the back of their heads that essentially Aaron Rodgers is leaving you, maybe for greener pastures. I think from his teammates, though, it's different because we see this sometimes in terms of, you know, guys are going to retire or there's retirement rumors. And you get the sense in that locker room, okay, this is the last go around for this player because at the end of the season, he's probably going to retire. So players have found themselves in this position before. Now, it's not the same thing where it's like, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to retire, but it's his last year in Green Bay. So, yeah, it's kind of the swan song. It adds a different wrinkle, a different narrative to that locker room. But I think 9 times out of 10, when that happens, guys are going to rally behind that and try to win for him as opposed to asking, like, well, what are we going to do next year?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting in that dynamic. I think they'll handle it well. They'll be like, hey, man, this guy's still the best, gives us the best chance to win. And once those guys hit the field, all they want to do is win. So the fan stuff will be interesting, especially if they disappoint mm-hmm. and don't do well. I think that part will be interesting. But I don't think they're going to hold this over Aaron Rodgers. I think this is on the organization. I think if the brass were to go out there, they'd boo the heck out of him there at Lambeau Field for what's taken place. And it was a rocky start for the career for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And it looks like it's going to be a rocky finish as well. And get ready for this conversation, Austin Lane, because I think this is about to happen in a lot of different places around the NFL. I think when Tom Brady did it, when he has the power to pick some players, and it feels like he's got power with the GM and the moves they're making and say in the organization, I think we started to see Deshaun Watson. We started to see Aaron Rodgers. We started to see Russell Wilson say, hey, wait a minute. Why am I not doing that? Mm-hmm. Look at my resume. Look at the way I'm playing. Well, then Tom Brady said, you know what? I got one more year here. That's it, New England. Then the ball's in my court, and I'm going to go pick where I want to play. Well, now Aaron Rodgers just set the table to do that too. Will Russell Wilson be next? Deshaun Watson has a little bit less say because of his situation, but you get my point. I think we're about to see this a lot, at least from the quarterback position. I don't know about other positions across the league.
And you know what? And truth be told, this is going to be a precedent, I feel like, for the entire Green Bay Packers organization. Because you have a situation here where I feel like you have to win this season. And you have to justify the drama that took part. And you have to do it in a conference that has guys like Tom Brady and the Los Angeles Rams, who seem to maybe find a little groove with Matthew Stafford now as well. So the road's not going to be easy. But if we're sitting here, you know, at the end of January and February, we're talking about how, man, Green Bay missed out again. Well, now you're talking about an organization that had Brett Favre, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, that had Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and you only won two Super Bowls between those guys. You went to three, and you won two of them. That's baffling to me. Listen, I'm not trying to harp on Green Bay here as an organization or anything, but like we always say, you know, Green Bay, you know, are they America's team? You know, it's a quarterback organization, you know, just their fan base, all this stuff, you know, it's ran right. Okay. But you've also had some of the best quarterback play in the past, I don't know, it seems like 2-3 decades. And what do you have to show for it? Not much. So to me, this is a monumental season for the Green Bay Packers. And obviously going forward, you have a guy in Jordan Love who's going to have all the pressure on him trying to replace a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and the point you just brings up three different things for me. One is, it makes you appreciate the heck out of what Tom Brady and the Patriots did to win all those Super Bowls.
Correct.
It doesn't matter if you have the guy. It doesn't matter if you have the coach. It doesn't matter if you have all the players. Winning is hard, okay? And so that's really point number two. I think it's proof that when you have those kind of quarterbacks for 20-plus years, winning is hard. They had a lot of good players along with those quarterbacks. Winning is still hard. And then the third part is, yeah, I think it is on Green Bay a little bit, and especially with Rodgers more so. Because if you look at what happened with Aaron Rodgers in the last handful, 7 or 8 years, I said this about the Jags a lot. When you miss the boat, right, you're not ahead of the curve. When the league is going offense, 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 and Kansas City is loading up with another receiver and another offensive weapon and a tight end, and you sit there in your Green Bay and you've got the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks in the league and you get him nothing?
Mm-hmm.
You get him nothing? While Kansas City's getting a young kid who's never even played a game, everything,
yeah.
You know? I mean, they're smart enough to do that, and you weren't. So I think there is a lot on the organization from that standpoint. You have to be ahead of the curve. You have to be good on defense. Yeah, you do to win championships. That still matters. But you also have to be able to play the game the way it's played today. And that's why I'm excited about the Jags, because the Jags finally can now go up and down the field with people, I think. Eventually, they will be over the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
The people they're putting on the outside, people they have in the backfield, the quarterback they now have. Hopefully that line stands up. Now they can play the game that the rest of the NFL has been playing for almost a decade. And Green Bay missed the boat because they had the guy. They just chose not to get the pieces around the guy as much as they could have. And I think they made a big mistake doing it. Now, that story's not going anywhere, but new information out on the Aaron Rodgers story from Adam Schefter and others today. That's a big story. Deshaun Watson, a big story. Austin will have more of that coming up, football at 5 along the way. Plus, camp battles tight end. Oh, yeah, that guy Tim Tebow. How's he going to do this week and this month? I'm going to probably step out of here in a couple minutes to check out one of these baseball games. Austin will take us home unless I rejoin him, which is a possibility. But before I do that, I depart by giving away some tickets. I made that sound like I was giving away my tickets.
Yeah, like you literally spent money on these things, and now
yes.
Out of the goodness of your own heart, you're going to give them away.
I am a super nice guy, though, and I would. but these really weren't mine to begin with. But this is a really cool contest.
It is.
You go to ESPN690.com, go to the contest page, and you can check out all the different acts. But this is called the Pick Your Ticket Contest. 904-362-9901, caller number 5. You get to choose a pair of tickets to any one of these shows. Miranda Lambert, Three Doors Down, Alice Cooper, Blackberry Smoke, Brothers Osborne, Counting Crows, Lady A, Pitbull, Rod Wave, Trippy Red. You get to pick which one you want to go to if you're caller number 5, 904-362-9901. More information, by the way, on which groups there are to go pick from on ESPN690.com and the contest page. We'll be right back. Action Sports Chats on ESPN 690.
Put in those credentials today, all right? Put in those credentials today. Can't wait to get – hopefully I get them. It's not a guarantee yet. I feel like I've been nice to everybody, so you can't keep me off that practice field. But I'm looking forward to it. There's so many things, and we'll break this down later on in the week, but there's so many things to watch in terms of how this defense is going to shake out, in terms of the intensity of practice. You know, how, is Urban Meyer going to turn up the heat a little more? And keep in mind, this is – it's kind of a weird – I don't know. I feel like every single year I say this, but every single year it escalates more and more. I want to say there's only like 10 days until the first Hall of Fame game, if I'm not mistaken, from the start of training camp. Casey, check that out real quick. But, I mean, it's something like that. We're talking like a week and some change, and we got our first preseason football game, you know? So it's just – it's crazy how shortened things are. It's crazy how, you know, you show up to training camp, you gather your bearings or whatever. If you're a rookie, you try to keep up as much as possible, and then you go from there. Anywhere in the Hall of Fame game?
August 5th, so – a week and 2 days?
From today. Or no.
From tomorrow.
From tomorrow, yeah. That's insane. A week and two. So literally we're talking, I mean, theoretically, you're talking, I would assume, 3 full padded practices. 3, or maybe 4 padded practices, and then 4 unpadded. And then, yeah, you're playing in a game for the Hall of Fame game. So, yeah, the season is literally right around the corner. Live football is right around the corner. And once again, I think if you're Urban Meyer, you got to turn up the gas a little bit now, right? Because we're literally weeks away from your first preseason game. But you also got to keep in mind, you have a very young football team right now. And then when you have a very young football team, they have to acclimate, right? And they have to acclimate to the way that you do things. Because in the past, and I'm not going to be the guy that's going to say, well, it was Club Med last year. You know, they weren't working hard. Every football team is working hard. When it's 90-something degrees, you know what? They're probably working even harder, okay? But when you have Urban Meyer, and we've echoed on this a lot, and I know I haven't been the only one, Brent's agreed with me, this will get ramped up. This will get turned up. And it's like I always say, you're going to have the best of the best, whether it's hot tubs, jacuzzis, whether it's the best food, whether it's like the best recovery thing, whatever the case may be, this team will have the best of the best. And you know why I believe that? Because Urban Meyer says so, and I have no reason not to, you know, in terms of football sense, I have no reason to go against him. So when he says they're getting the best of the best, I do believe that. But when you get the best of the best, it's got to come at a price, and that price will be paid, mark my words, on the practice field. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the intensity because, number one, I don't got to do it anymore. I'm covering it, so it's going to be all good. But I'm excited for a lot of things. We get here at 5 o'clock. We'll break down the tight ends a little bit. And the tight end's always an interesting position because, yeah, I was the guy saying, what happens if Kyle Pitts comes to Jacksonville? I was the guy saying, let's get Hunter Henry yesterday. Let's get Hunter Henry right now. I was that guy. But is not having a tight end necessarily the worst thing? Because when you look at teams around the NFL, there's a lot of teams that have some moderate success that don't have tight ends. So we'll break that position down later. In my opinion, probably the most, I would say the most up for grabs, possibly, in terms of playing time, in terms of, you know, who wants the overall target share, I guess. But we'll break that down in the 5 o'clock hour. But, you know, speaking of football, and this is very rarely, you know, speaking of football and Kanye West, but I got to address this story. And Casey, have you seen this story with Kanye West?
Yeah.
Are you a big Kanye West guy?
Well, big is a not accurate, but I,
no,
I
sure,
liked,
sure.
I liked Kanye in when he was like Kanye.
Like the old Kanye, as yeah. you would say, like the old yeah. Kanye. You know, and here's the thing about Kanye West. Yes, sometimes the shoes look ridiculous. Yes, sometimes the fashion is out of this world. Literally, you look like an astronaut with that jacket on. I understand all of that. But what you can't deny is if you're a fan of music, and I don't care if you're a fan of country music or pop, whatever the case may be, the guy can make some good beats. And the guy can make some good tracks. And regardless of the personality and the ego and, you know, being married to a Kim Kardashian for a while, all that stuff aside, the guy can make some great music. So we tolerate it. I tolerate it. I accept it. You know, all of a sudden he drops a new album. I'm like, you know what? That space suit coat actually looks pretty cool because the song sounds good. So it looks cool. But nevertheless, with much anticipation, Kanye West is getting ready to release his new album. And Twitter's ablaze. I'm excited. A lot of people are excited. But in order to do that, he's got to put some, you know, some critique, some kind of finishing touches. You know, he's got to dot those T's and cross, dot those I's and cross those T's and make sure that the album is up to his standard. Because if anybody's a perfectionist, it's Kanye West. Here's the unique thing what's going on right now, though, with Kanye West and him finishing up his album. He is doing it in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play. I think it's Mercedes-Benz, right? It's Mercedes-Benz now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's living there. He's living there, by my understanding, in some kind of suite. And he's got his own, like, personal chef. He's got a chauffeur. He's got everything you need, like you're at a Holiday Inn Express. But he's living at the Mercedes-Benz where, you know, stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play. And on top of that, their soccer team, who plays in said stadium, played over this weekend. And Kanye West came out of wherever he's staying, whether it's underground in the tunnel or whether it's in a suite, came out to watch the game with some fans. Now, that sounds like a cool story. Only thing is, though, it's Kanye West. So it's never just a, oh, it's an easy story like that. Kanye West came out rocking a red space jacket and wearing pantyhose over his head. Now, was he going to rob a bank? I don't know. Why the pantyhose were a choice in sitting in this crowd cheering on a soccer game? Once again, I don't know, but the guy's got sick beats, so I allow it. So we tolerate it. But how crazy is it, Casey? You go to a soccer game, right? You cheer on your Atlanta team, and all of a sudden here's Kanye West rocking some pantyhose sitting next to you.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine those people were confused.
As you should be.
I mean, it's like, is that? Oh, that's, oh, he's gone.
Yeah. Like, was that real or not? And it begs the question, like, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's good publicity for your stadium, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you Google it, like, Mercedes-Benz Stadium right now, it's just Kanye's face. This article says, if you saw Kanye West at the Atlanta United game, comma,
yeah,
no, you didn't.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he was rocking, like, this red space, and then he had, like, over his face was covered.
Yes.
Like, he was trying to hide. Yeah.
He was trying to hide himself as much as you can be yourself while hiding.
Okay, and I get that, Casey, and that's fantastic. At the same time, though, and once again, we tolerate it because he makes some good music. But if you really wanted to cover yourself at a soccer game and you don't want to bring attention to yourself, let's not wear the puffiest of all puffy red jackets. In the middle of summer, mind you. Let's not put pantyhose over our head like we're an extra in the movie Heat, getting ready to go rob a bank. Let's just have a fake mustache and some glasses, and let's see where that gets us. And let's not draw distractions to you. I don't know how many soccer fans are Kanye West fans, but I feel like if you wear a hat low enough, you rock a fake mustache, maybe some glasses, people aren't going to recognize you, okay? I watch Undercover Boss all the time. They pull it off 24/7. All it takes is some long hair, a wig, a mustache, some glasses, you're good to go. But needless to say, shout out to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium letting Kanye West just hang out there. I wonder what it would take for, like, and I'm trying to think. I don't know, like, what the draw to Mercedes-Benz Stadium is. Like, Kanye West isn't from Atlanta. He's from Chicago.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why. Yeah.
It makes no sense at all. I was thinking the same thing. Atlanta has nothing to do with Kanye other than, I mean, Atlanta is like a hotbed for music and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just want to know why.
Now, listen, if you're Shad Khan, and you're Urban Meyer, it's about the best of the best, right? We've heard this many times. The stadium is fine. I love TIA Bank Field. I got no problems with it. Press box, mwah, chef's kiss. Can't wait to see that menu this year. Can't wait to see that spread. With that being said, though, it should be your goal in the future when you build a new one or you renovate the old one. It's got to be Kanye West worthy. All right. When Kanye West in 10 years drops another album, I want that fool living in the Jaguar suite. All right. I want to go to, I don't know, some kind of Monster Jam rally at TIA Bank Field. I want to look left to me and my son's like, hey, Dad. Like, guys, we're in some pantyhose over. So I'm like, hey, don't worry, son. That's Kanye West. And these facilities here at TIA Bank Field, he needs them to be creative and write a new album. For more on ESPN 690 when we get back. You know what's crazy? I just feel like the NBA season's done, right? The Milwaukee Bucks put an exclamation point on. Obviously, I was celebrating responsibly because I had a fight, you know, a couple days later. So I couldn't go out and celebrate like I wanted. Couldn't get, you know, Deer District crazy, as they put it. But I still had a blast. Nevertheless, basketball is 24/7, 365. Because this Thursday, according to the internet, is the NBA draft. And by the way, hey, NBA, where's the race right now, okay? I'm not even sure who the number one overall pick's going to be, and I got to learn that by the next 2 days? I'm not even sure Milwaukee's picking in the first round. Give me some time to decompress. We got to go to draft mode right away. And then with draft mode, obviously, comes trade mode as well. And Casey just told me this. Apparently, there's a big NBA trade right now because, hey, why not? We're like a week removed from the NBA Finals. Let's get trade hungry right away. Like, the NBA needs any more publicity. Casey, what do we got on the trade front?
Shout out to Kuz for quote tweeting this. That's how I saw it. Legend. So anyway, Memphis is sending Jonas Valanciunas,
yeah,
the number 17 pick in the draft and the number 51 pick in the draft, to the New Orleans Pelicans for Steven Adams, another big man. Eric Bledsoe.
Wow.
The 10th pick, the 40th pick, and a protected 2022 first-round pick via the Lakers.
Jeez. Okay, so there's a lot going on now. So keep it one more time. I mean, just for the most part. Sorry, I had to put you on the spot. But
Valanciunas, yep, pick 17 and pick 51,
okay,
to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, pick 10, pick 40, and a pick next year.
All right. Call me crazy, but, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like New Orleans got the better deal because they got a lot more players and a first-round pick. But, I mean, I guess I didn't know Jonas Valanciunas was that, like, that highly coveted.
He was a dude in fantasy, daily, okay, fantasy. He, okay, was a dude. Rebounding, okay, scoring, everything.
Okay. But this is where we're at now in the NBA. You know, it's trade season. Woj bombs flying everywhere like you can't believe. Kyle Lowry is another guy who could be on the trade block that teams can kind of go after a little bit. And this is what the NBA does. And this is what makes it so fascinating because, you know, while the NFL, like, yeah, there's the big contracts and there's the big trades every once in a while. What was Aaron Rodgers going to do with Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson? That's great and everything. But, like, very rarely do you see the top guys on their respective teams just all of a sudden get up and leave. And it's like, ah, I'm out of here. I'm going someplace else. I'm going to build a super team, if you will. That's what makes basketball just so fascinating. And literally, it is 365, it seems like. Because, once again, we literally just watched the NBA Finals. And now we're in a draft season. And now we're in a trade season already. Like, at least after football, it's like, all right, we got about a month or so. All right, here comes the combine talks. Okay, here come the mock drafts after that. I get it, but, like, it gradually builds to a crescendo. With the NBA, it's like go, go, go all the time. Relax a little bit. You're not going anywhere. There's no fire. Come on now. Unreal. But I'm really curious to see, and I think the biggest story in the NBA and where the biggest Woj bomb could come from, depending on how this team wants to handle it. And it's unique that you brought up Kuz because this is Kuz's team. By the way, condolences to you guys, the 76ers, that is, not making it to the finals. I apologize. What up, Milwaukee? Hope Kuz is listening. Anyways, I'm very curious to see what's going on with Ben Simmons. Because to me, Ben Simmons, you know, all-star Ben Simmons, you know, playmaker Ben Simmons, obviously a guy who had his struggles and his trials and tribulations, you know, in the playoffs. But he's also a heck of a player, and you can't take that away from him. Now, do you feel confident with him in the NBA final trying to carry a team? Absolutely not. But if you're an up-and-coming team and you're trying to build and you're trying to, you know, start from the ground up, I think Ben Simmons is a very intriguing prospect. I'm very curious to see if Doc Rivers and the 76ers, they choose to keep Ben Simmons, or if they cut ties with him after this, you know, this past playoff performance, and they go in a new direction.
Say you're the GM of the Orlando Magic, who traded everything they had.
Yes, they did.
What would you give up for Ben Simmons right now after what you just saw from him?
You know, I mean, if it was a first rounder, oh yeah, I mean, all day, right? I'd trade a first rounder all day. But that's not how the NBA seems to work. And I get it. Ben Simmons, he had a rough playoff run this past season. But to me, you know, whether it's Paul George, whether it's Ben Simmons, you can't let one run define you. I think we do that a lot when we're talking about the NBA. I think that if you look at the body of work of Ben Simmons, what he's been able to do, what he brings to a team, and once again, I'm being very nice to Ben Simmons right now, but I think he's earned it, man. Like, I mean, the accolades and the prestige, it does speak for itself. Take this past season out of it. I think you're talking at least, realistically, probably two first-rounders and a player. I think that's what it's going to cost. Now, if you're asking me, would I pull the trigger? Like, if I'm Orlando, would I pull the trigger on Ben Simmons? I probably would. I think in terms of his style, when he is firing on all cylinders, you know, his ability to drive, to create, to facilitate, I think his game can translate to the future of basketball. But I would have to sit down with him, and I have to pick his brain a little bit. Because to me, it's not even about the physicality part of it. Like, you have all the skill set to be successful. Now, yeah, the free throw shooting and stuff like that needs to be fixed. But, like, we've seen the good of you, right? And when you see the good of somebody in the NFL, like, for instance, Carson Wentz. If you go off of last season of Carson Wentz, nobody would ever trade for him. Had a horrible season in Philadelphia. Now, not only Carson Wentz's fault, but you saw he was a shell of himself last year. And whether that's a combination of the play calling, a combination of him and Doug Peterson not getting along, a combination of injuries, whatever the case may be, you saw the very worst of Carson Wentz last year. They bring in Jalen Hurts. He offers a little spark, so much to the fact that they let Carson Wentz go, they traded him away. Okay. Well, what did Indianapolis do? Indianapolis, who essentially might be a quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl. They said, you know what, Carson Wentz? Horrible season last year, but we've seen the good. We've seen the MVP run that you had until you got hurt and your team went to the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. We've seen the ceiling, and we like what we see. So we're going to give you a shot. I feel like NBA teams got to have that same mindset where it's like, okay, I get it, Ben Simmons. Horrible showing in the playoffs. Really embarrassing. But we've seen the good too. We can work with the good pending that your mind is still there. So if I'm Orlando, I think if I'm a team that's in the mood for rebuilding, that can afford to have a superstar who, you know, can share the ball every once in a while, I'm taking a long, hard look at Ben Simmons. But once again, that's assuming that Philly wants to get rid of him. All right, so let's go ahead and shift from basketball to the NFL when we come back here. It's going to be football at 5. Going to break down some tight ends on the Jaguars. Who's the favorite? Who's the front runner? Who's getting the most catches this year? Is Tim Tebow on the list? We'll break it down next here on ESPN 690.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.